Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Welcome back. We're going to start a new sugya, much related to Pesach and the times afterwards. I'd like to spend maybe a week or two discussing Bechiras Yisrael. First question I think that's worth considering with respect to the question of our chosenness is why we were chosen. Why were we selected? Is there a reason? Is it a reason we could understand? What does the Torah have to say? What's fascinating is that when you look at the first moment of Bechira, the selection of Avram Avinu, you get very different messages from the Torah Shebichsav and from Chazal. First, we'll take a look at the Torah Shebichsav. And as the Ramban already notes, there's a startling discrepancy between the Bechira of Avram and the Bechira of Noach. When it comes to Noach, the Torah is very explicit and clear why Noach was selected. Ela told us, Noach is tzaddik, tamim haya b'derosav. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us the story of Noach, he tells us exactly why Noach was selected, tzaddik, tamim. And then, Memela, once we know he was a tzaddik and a tamim, Vayomar Hashem al Noach, and he tells him what to do. Whereas when it comes to Avram Avinu, we have quite the opposite. There's no, Ela told us, Avram is tzaddik, tamim haya b'dorosav, Vayomar Hashem al Avram, lech lecha me'artzach omim aladetcha. No. We have no introduction of Avram at the end of Parshas Noach. It mentions his birth. It doesn't tell us anything great about him or why he was worthy or why he was selected. And then the Pasuk simply tells us, Lach lecha me'artzecha me'ladecha me'zavicha l'artza she'areka ve'eschal goy gadol v'avarchecha v'gadla shemecha. The Torah describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make Avram Avinu into a great nation, but it doesn't tell us why. And of course, that's startling. Now, as we read on in Chumash, we find out that, in fact, Avram Avinu was the greatest person ever to live. But when he's introduced, when he's selected, we know nothing of him or why he was selected or the like. So I'd like to start with a Maral who discusses this point. It's your first Makor over here. And essentially, the Maral attributes the discrepancy to the difference in the nature of Avram's mission versus Noach's mission. Noach was chosen to be a survivor, while Avram Avinu was chosen to found a nation, an eternal nation. And since Avram's selection extends well beyond himself, he wasn't just selected as an individual, but rather to found a nation. So it goes much beyond his personal greatness. It's not limited to who he was as a person and who his accomplishments were. Of course he was great, and of course he accomplished a great deal before Hashem ever spoke to him. But had the Torah emphasized that point, so the implication would be that the selection was limited to his personal greatness and his personal accomplishments. Whereas in reality, it goes much further. So let's take a look at what the Maral writes. Aval lefi ha'dvarim asher amarnu lecha lo yikshe klal. Ki etzel Noach lo haya rak bechira prati. Va'bechira pratit hu lefi mashehu. Noach was selected as a yachid, and it was whatever it was. Va'kolu lefi ma'isit tzidku shelo. Aval be'avram lo haya bechira pratit. Rak be'uma Yisraelis shehem zaro. Noach was simply saved. He was saved, his family was saved. Of course, the whole world would emerge from him. But he wasn't selected like Avram Avinu to be the father of a great nation. V'zeh b'chira klalas, u'b'chira kemozos, Ein tola b'maisa klal, v'lo b'chet, ki amaisu l'prat. Av, ki b'vadei z'chus avos mo'yel mikol makom, ikra b'chira b'chira klalis bo u'vizaro. V'al yikshem asher kasov, lo b'tikascha asher atabala reshes v'cholei, l'mana kimes adavar sher nishbal avosecha, v'vadei davar zeh ma shehevi oso hador el ha'aret haya tola b'chus avos. V'gam davar zeh prati, Aval ikra bechira shebachar Hashem Yisbarach b'Avram lo haya bechira pratis. Rak shebachar bo uvizaro acharav bechira klalis. V'lo haya bechira pratis. Shabechira pratis ulefiya mekabel ve'im nishtana mekabel yishtana davar. Lekach yituritz ha-she'ela shelo hizkir ha-kas of tzidkas Avram kodem shenigla elav ha-shechina v'arme lo lech lecham yaratz v'chol adetcha. Shem kach haya ma'isa Mashma shalakach negla ilav HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amal alech l'cham yatcha b'shvil z'chuso shizkir v'im kain. Zos ava tluya b'davar. V'chol ava tluya b'davar batel davar batel ava. So had the Torah emphasized the reason for the Bechira, so then it would be talui in the Bechira. Let's imagine that Avram Avinu went off the derech, or his children Rachman al-Atslan went off the derech, so since the Bechira is talui in their decisions, their behavior, and the like, so Mamela, the Bechira would be batal. Lefikach, al Bechira pratis yeshinoi, v'lo al Bechira klalis. We'll get back to this point later, but I think the emphasis of Ava is particularly important, as we'll see. The notion of Ava, or at least Ava Shena Tluya B'davar, is that it's something that goes beyond whatever reasons. Ava Shena Tluya B'davar doesn't mean that it's random or without any basis, meaning to say if a couple gets married or if there's Ava Shena Tluya B'davar too. So, of course, there's some reason. But the point is, it's something that goes beyond those regions. That's what the Maharal says. Now, again, of course, the Pasuk does tell us about how great Avram Avinu was, but it was only after the Torah first describes his selection. The Pasuk in Nehemiah, likewise, the Maharal notes, emphasizes this idea. We say it in Davening. Atah Hashem Elokim, Asher Bacharta Be'Avram, In other words, first it says, Asher Bacharta b'Avram, you chose Avram Avinu, and then, eventually, Matzasas Levavo Neman Lefanecha. The Bechira precedes the description of his greatness. Now that is the impression that you get in Chazal, in the Tarsha B'Chsav. Of course, when you look at Chazal, you get a very different implication. Chazal depict the greatness of Avram and emphasize the greatness of Avram well before he was chosen. Avram Avinu independently discovers God. He's Moser Nafsho in Ur Kasdim, willing to give up his life for his belief. He gathers many people in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam, in the second source that you have over here, articulates this idea coming from Chazal, the Kevan. First, he describes how the entire world, or almost the entire world, forgot about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then it describes Kevan Shenigmal Eitan Zeh Hischil Ashotet Bedato Vukatan Vischil Achsho V'yom V'alayla. So Avram Avinu's wondering, he's questioning, how could there be a Bria with a Manhig? And again, the Rambam, we don't have to read it inside, we all know what he says, depicts Avram's greatness. We find perhaps a similar discrepancy, though maybe in the opposite direction, when it comes to, or actually this is the same direction, when it comes to later a description of the Bechira in Sefer Dvarim, the Pasuk says in Dvarim Perek Zayin, Yam kadosh atal Hashem Elokecha, b'cha b'char Hashem Elokecha liyos lo la'am sevula mikol amim asher Pnei Adama. So the pasuk describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's selection of Bnei Yisrael to be Nam Segula. Lo mirubchem mikol amim chashak Hashem b'chem v'yivchar b'chem ki atam amad mikol amim ki me'avas Hashem eschem u'mishamros hashvua asher nishba lavoseichem lotzi Hashem eschem b'yad chazaka v'yiftecha mi'beis avadim mi'ad paro melech Mitzrayim. So it's very interesting because the pasuk tells us, you know, don't say it's because of your merubchem mikol amim that Hashem was choshek b'chem, but doesn't actually tell us why. It just says because He loved you, right? Ki me'avas Hashem eschem. So again, the pasuk emphasizes the, I would say, the mystery in the bechira, right? Don't say the reason is this, but rather it's because of Hashem's ava. But doesn't tell us the reason. Doesn't tell us the basis for the ava. Just says because of the ava. If you look at Chazal, how they darsh in this pasuk, the source on the top of page 2. So Adirabba, Chazal see alluded in this pasuk the reason for the bechira, or at least part of the reason. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishrom Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Kol Makom She'atamotze Dvarav Shal Rabbi Elazar Ben Nafshe Rabbi Lili. Fine. Lo Merubchem Mikol Amim Chashak Hashem Bachem Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Li Yisrael Choshkani Bachem Shaf Afilu B'Shash Ani Mashbia Lachem Gedula Atem Mematim Atzmachem Lefanai Nasati Gdula Avram, and what did he say? Amar Lefanai Vanochi Ofer Ve'efer Moshe V'Aaron, Amar V'Nachnu Ma'al David, Amar Vanochi Tolas V'Loish, Avol Ovdei Kuchav V'Meinan Kein, Nasati Gdula L'Nimrod, Amar Havanivna Lanu Ir L'Paro, Amar Mi Hashem L'San Cherev, Amar Mi B'chol Elohei Ha'aratzos L'Nivuchanetzar, Amar Eleh Abama Sayav Lachira Melch Tzur Amar Moshav Elohim Yashavti Belev Yamim. So here, right, Lomi Rubchem isn't like the Shuto Shel Mikra. This isn't the reason why you were chosen, but rather it's a remez to the reason why you were chosen, because of your great anava, your shiflos. I give gedula to you and your memaid atzmachem, whereas when it comes to the other nations, the opposite is the case. So again, here we have another instance of perhaps the Pshuto Shel Mikra hiding the reason for Bechira, whereas Chazal emphasizing that it's not random or haphazard, but it's based off of a reason. So how do we explain this discrepancy, this different emphasis in Chazal and Torah Bechsav? So I believe the answer is that there are two aspects, tzvei dinim, as it were, in Bechiras Yisrael. And it's important for us to understand both of those. The Torah Bechsav emphasizes one, the Torah Baal Peh emphasizes another. The truth is that you could actually see both aspects in Torah Baal Peh and in Torah Bechsav. And perhaps to appreciate these two elements of Bechira, we can consider two metaphors used to describe the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. One metaphor that's frequently used is the parent-child relationship. Kol Amar Hashem, B'ni B'chori Yisrael, we are God's child. Many places were described as the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We also know a very important metaphor is the spousal relationship. All of Sefer Shir HaShirim depicts the relationship that we are, as it were, married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or betrothed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, Kivo Alayach Hosayach Hashem Tzvakos Shemo. Now, what's the difference between these two relationships? So, the love that a parent has towards their child is not rooted in anything that the child did or accomplished or the like. The moment that the child is born, even before the child's born, there's always already an intense love, affection, bond between the parent and the child. It's not rooted in reason. No parent can tell you the reason why they love their child. Of course, as the child grows up, the relationship develops, and there are qualities that perhaps the parent appreciates in the child. But at its very root, it's not a relationship that's rooted in reason. It's, as it were, inscrutable. It's beyond reason. And that aspect of our relationship is, as we noted, what's emphasized at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha and other places. The Torah doesn't emphasize the reasons or reasons for our chosenness, for the selection of Avraham Avinu and the like, because it's something that goes beyond any reason. It's not limited by the reason. But that's not the only aspect of our relationship. There's this, as it were, spousal component. When one chooses one spouse, so, of course, the love should develop into, as we said before, Ava She'ena Tzuliyah B'Davar, but it's not random. It's not haphazard. It's not, at least initially, without reason. There is reason. Right? If somebody suggests a shidduch, so, you know, you expect that the shadchan is going to tell you some good reason why you should go out with this particular person, why they're suitable, what their qualities are. It's not just without reason. And we could add, based off of this dichotomy, answer perhaps a very challenging question, which is whether or not the bond, the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal or dependent. So many sources emphasize what I would say the parent-child relationship. Parent-child relationship is, as we said, without reason, and therefore, as the Maharal pointed out, unbreakable, right? A child cannot divorce his parent, and the reverse. You could decide not to talk to your parents. Parents could decide to not talk to their children. But they're still children. They're still parents. That relationship is still there. And, of course, the same is not true when it comes to a spousal relationship. In theory, there's the possibility of divorce. And the reason, presumably, is because one is inherent and one is based off of a choice. One's based off of reason. The spousal relationship is based off of the expectations, the agreements. So if one spouse isn't keeping their side of the bargain, or if they're unfaithful, so then the relationship can be broken. It's dependent on reason, and therefore it's subject to reason. So we have many psukim that emphasize the eternal nature of our bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we said, the parent-child relationship, since it's not rooted in reason, not based on reason, it can't be broken. V'akimos yesbrisi b'eini u'v'einecha u'v'ein zaracha charecha u'darosam, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, l'vris olam. An eternal covenant. It's eternal, unbreakable, forever. Like we said, the chosenness of Avraham Avinu is not limited to reason, so it's not subject to reason. If we look, for example, at the Tochachan Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Bechukosai, so even after we mess up, Vim Bechukosai Timasu, Ves Mishpatai Tigal Nafshechem, Levilti Asosis Komitzosai, you break the covenant. So things aren't going to be very good. But still, there's a bris. It's a bris olam. We might rebel. We might act poorly, but ultimately, lo me'astim la'afer b'risitam. And therefore, the pasuk emphasizes, zacharti lahem bris rishonim. I'm going to remember that bris, and we will be reunited. And this is throughout Tanakh. Ki lo yitosh Hashem es amo ba'avur shmo agadol. He'll never totally forsake us. Ki ho'il Hashem la'asos eschem lo la'am. Even the book of Amos, for example, which emphasizes in many ways the similarity between the Jewish people and the rest of the world. Everybody is Shlosha Arba. But ultimately, the Navi concludes, Hinei, Einei Hashem Elokim b'mamlacha chata'av v'shmadeti osa me'al p'nei adama. Right, that's it. Jewish people are going to be destroyed. Efes, ki lo hashmed ashmid es beis Yaakov nu Hashem. But I'll never utterly destroy beis Yaakov. But in other places, take a look at the Tochachan Dvarim, so you get a very different impression. There's no bris that's guaranteed. The Tochacha just ends. Uvau alecha kol haklalos ha'ela, urdavucha visigucha, ad hishamdach, ki lo shamata b'kol Hashem alokecha, l'shmar mitzvosav v'chukosav asher tziva. Everything is going to go wrong. Gam kol choli v'chomaka, asher lo kasu b'sefer ha'tarazos, yalem Hashem alecha, ad hishamdach. That's it. That's the end of the parsha. And many places in Tanakh, other places sound like that. Hefer bris, Klal Yisrael is mefer bris, and that's the end. Vayimas Hashem b'chol zera Yisrael. Perhaps the most extreme reflection of this is, you could see it on page 2, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu per Gimel. Lemor hein yishalach ish es ishto ve'alcham yito v'aysal ish acher hayashuv ela ha'od halo chanof techanaf ha'aretz ahi ve'at zanis re'im rabim v'shuv elai ne'um Hashem. Again, as we expected, when referring to the spousal relationship between us and Klal Yisrael, us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's the possibility of divorce. So the Pasuk says, you know, a man divorces his wife, and she goes and she's with another man. Can she return to her husband? No. That's Aser. Machzer Gush Aso. Certainly Aser. V'at, and you. Zanis Re'im Rabim. Look at all of your affairs that you had. Look at all the affairs. Right? Avodah Zarah is a breaking of the covenant. It's ki'ilu if Har Sinai was our marriage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then Avodah Zarah is like having an affair. So, can that be repaired? Berek hi al odos asher ni'afa mishuva Yisrael shalachtia. So, this is referring to the 10 tribes. They were menafim, they were adulterous. Shalachtia, I sent them away, I divorced them. V'tein es sefer krisuseha. And I gave a get. Eleha. V'lo yara bogeda Yehuda chosa v'telech v'tizen gamhi. Yehuda saw. She didn't learn the lesson. She too went and had an affair. Sounds like we could be divorced. Now, doesn't actually say that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu divorced Yehuda. It certainly implies that it's possible, though. So what's the pshat? The pshat is, like we said, that we have these two aspects of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have the parent-child bond, we have the spousal bond. The parent-child bond is a bris olam. It's one that can never be broken. No matter what we do and how bad we are, we'll always remain his children. That aspect of our relationship is guaranteed. Like we said, it's not rooted in reason. It's inscrutable. It's beyond reason. It doesn't mean it's arbitrary, but it's beyond reason. Like the love of a parent to a child. And therefore, it's unbreakable. And the Gemara in Kiddushin emphasizes this. You can see this in the next source. It's actually the Machlokas Tanayim. But the Gemara there says, Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. Bizman she'atem no'agim minag banim, atem kriyim banim. Ein atem no'agim minag banim, ein atem kriyim banim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not banim if we're not no'ag minag banim. But Remeir Omer, Bein kach uvein kach, atem kriyim banim. She'ne'amar, banim sichlim heima. In other words, even when you're sichlim, even when you're foolish, you're still banim. Ve'omer banim le lo emun bam. Even when you're faithless, you're still banim. Zerem mireim banim mashchisim. Even when you're mashchisim, you're still banim. Ve'omer. Vayab b'mkom asher yomer lahem lo amiyatem yomar lahem bini elchai. And the Rashba writes, fascinating, maybe you'll say this is just like a machlokas nagarata, there's no nafkamina. The Rashba says there is a nafkamina, and we paskin like Remeir. U'mishumud zeh b'chlal banim hu. We'll talk about the context over here, but this mishumud is begeder banim. In other words, even though Imamish went off the derech, he's still a ben. Kedivri Remeir b'shili parakam t'kidushin. V'af agad Remeir Rebuta alach Rebuta. Normally we have alach, we pass my Rebuta against Remeir. But still, Remeir Krai Kadayik, look at all those psukim that Remeir quotes, we paskin like Remeir. So, what's the answer? Right? We saw the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which focused on our spousal relationship, told us that there's the possibility of divorce. Right? Sefer Krisus. But the other aspect of our relationship is one that's eternal. So when you see the psukim that emphasize the eternality of our bond, regardless of what we do, it's a reflection of the parent-child dimension of our relationship. When you see psukim like those in Yirmiyahu and elsewhere that emphasize the possibility of termination, that's a reflection of the spousal relationship. Now, this dichotomy expresses itself in halacha as well. On the one hand, we have a halacha that once a Jew is Jewish, they can never lose their halachic status of Jew. The Gemara in Yevamos that you have over here states Tavel v'Ala. Here it's even talking about a ger. Maybe you'd think that a ger, they chose to become Jewish, they could become un-Jewish if they wish. No. Once there was a valid conversion, Hareu ki Yisrael chol dvarav l'may hilchasa dihadar bei mekadesh bas Yisrael Yisrael mumar karina bei the kiddush of kiddushin. So even if it's hadar bei, even if this ger decides to renounce his Judaism, revert back to his status as non-Jew, and he's mekadesh a woman, we don't say he's like a non-Jew where kiddushav is einam kiddushin. No, kiddush of kiddushin. In other words, it's irreversible. And likewise, someone who's born Jewish, no matter what he does, kiddush of kiddushin. The pasuk in Yehoshua says, Chata Yisrael, in the story of Achan, that even after they were chote, they are still Yisrael, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says towards the bottom of page 2. Chata Yisrael, Amr Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Afal Pishachata Yisrael Hu. Amr Rabbi Abba, Hainu Damri Inchi, Asa Dekai Bene Chilfi, Asa Shmei, V'Asa Karulei. A Asa, a Hadas, though it stands among the reeds, is still a Hadas. It's an interesting machlokas. We've shown him actually how to understand that mashal. But one way or the other, the Gemara is surely emphasizing this idea that Yisrael Achol Pishachata, no matter what we do, Achan, according to Chazal, that the worst of the worst Averos, and still Yisrael Hu. But at the same time, we have many halachos that a mummer is ka'akom l'chol davar. Someone who rejects their Judaism has a din of a guy. Their shechita is invalid, like that of a guy. According to many opinions in the Rishonim, you could collect ribbis from them. They write a sefer Torah, you burn it. Mamish, it's ka'akom l'chol davar. Right? We saw at the beginning of the year, we talked about the Rambam. Rambam writes, someone who doesn't accept the Yud Gimel Ikar Yemuna is excluded from Klal Yisrael, both in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. Ein lo chelek l'Olam Haba. In fact, actually, if you look at Rashi and Bechoros on that Gemara that states that if a convert renounces his Judaism, he's still Kiddush of Kiddushin. So Rashi writes, Areu Ki Yisrael Mumar. In other words, it's not to say that he's Yisrael Gamor either. He's not a Guy Gamor. Now, obviously, figuring out when we say Yisrael Afal Pishachata Yisrael Hu and when we say Mumer Ka'akum L'chol Davar is a bigger topic, and it's worth considering. Maybe at the end of today's shiur we could get back to that question. It was much discussed in the after the Brother Daniel story, how you define who's a Jew, that particular debate related to the application of the law of return. But without answering that question, the point, though, is that they're both true, as we've seen throughout. In other words, there's an aspect of our chosenness that's beyond reason. What we're saying is being depicted by the parent-child relationship, and that's unbreakable, both for the nation and for the individual. And then there's another aspect of our chosenness, one which we can understand. That first aspect is something that's beyond reason. It's something we can't understand. When the Torah omits the reason, it's because it's something we can't know. That's why the Torah, Bidafka, doesn't tell us. But there's another aspect of that relationship, that bond that we can understand, that's based off of who we are and what we've accomplished and our goodness, and to the extent that it is based off of our goodness. So then it's dependent upon our goodness. It's something that can be revoked. I'll take your questions in a second, but just, I guess, one final ha'ara for this first part of this year, which is that what we're saying is that the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no true human analog, right? We're saying there's both a spousal component, a parent-child component. There's no such thing as, you know, you can't marry your kids. Right? That relationship doesn't exist in humans. And the truth is, it's even more complex than that as well. We all are going to sing tonight Yadid Nefesh, which emphasizes the complexity of the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just think of that first line, Yadid Nefesh, where the Yadid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are friends. Av HaRachaman, he's our father. Mishoch Avdecha Ritzonecha, we are his Eved, he's our master, right? This one sentence refers to three different, very different relationships. A friend, a parent, and a master. And that's just one line. Read on in the poem and you'll see it gets even more complex. So, understanding the nature of Bechiras Yisrael is obviously not something that we could do in an hour, and not something that perhaps we could ever fully appreciate. There's a mystery to it, an aspect that we can understand. But I think the first step of understanding it is to appreciate its complexity, and that there is an aspect that it's beyond reason, there's an aspect that's dependent on reason. And when we look at Tanakh and Chazal and the like, we see that the Torah really does emphasize the complexity and the dual nature, really, much more than dual nature, of this bond. Yes?
It's a father-son relationship. It seems that it's not bound only to Jews. Jews are called before.
Oh, good. We're going to get there. Excellent. I hope to return to that shortly. Good question. Excellent, Diak. Excellent question. Okay. First, just a ha'ara before we go on. We saw the possible... Yes?
Is it possible, and if it's possible, has it been attempted to distinguish parts of the relationship based on this access? Meaning, is the content of our relationship with God as a son the same as the content of our relationship with God as a friend or as a servant? They all just overlap on top of each other.
Which I think they're both true, but I think you can distinguish. I think, Gufa, that's what we're doing. In other words, the fact that we have halachos that, you know, say, mumer ke'akom l'chol davar, and also with respect to other cases, we say, Yisrael afal bishachata Yisraelu. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about when we say each. Or, again, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu about the Sefer Krisos given to B'nai Yisrael versus, as Ezra Meir says, you know, banim sichlim, that even when we're sichlim, we're still banim. So yes, very much so. And again, one reflection of that difference is the psukim that emphasize that our bond is determined on our in our behavior versus the psukim that emphasize that it's eternal, guaranteed, no matter what. In halacha, it's reflected in the places where we say mumer ka'akum versus where we say Yisrael afal bishachata Yisrael. And even there, it's obviously complex. But yes, I think exactly what at least we're beginning to do. And I'd like to maybe expand on that. Yes?
And the pasuk in the Yahweh says, Kisu Seho, does dramatically, it's a plural form. So the divorces. So maybe that's referring to...
The implication. In other words, you're saying there's an internal contradiction in the psukim. Because the psukim say it's impossible, and yet it implies that's exactly what happened, right? Yeah. So let's talk about that for a little bit. The Medrash notes that the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek Nun, contradicts that pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The pasuk in is the bottom of page 2. Ko'amar Hashem, Eze Sefer Krisos Imchem Asher Shilachtiha, Omi Minoshai Asher Macharti Eschem Lo, Hein Bavonosechem Nimkartem Lepisheichem Shulcha Imchem. So here, the pasuk seems to indicate we weren't divorced. Eze Sefer Krisos, as opposed to that pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Now you could say that the pasuk in Yirmiyahu doesn't say just divorced everybody. It's referring to Yisrael, maybe not to Yehuda. Though it implies that we could be separated. So take a look at the Yalkut, top of page 3, that addresses this issue. Asida Knesset Yisrael Shetomel Nekodesh Baruch Ribono Shel Olam Kfar Hichtavta Lemor Heini Shalach Ishes Ishtau Vegomer. In other words, Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, you know, you divorced us, right? You can't take us back. It's against the Torah. Amar La, Hashem says back to Klal Yisrael, Klum Hichtavti Ela Ish. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu said, a man who divorces his wife may not take her back if she's been with another man. V'halo kvar nemar, ki kel anochi v'lo ish. V'chigrushim atem li beis Yisrael, ko amar Hashem, eze sefer krisos imchem. The pasuk from Yeshayahu. In other words, the way the Beis Halevi in Drashos, you see it below here, sees in this medrash really two answers. First of all, the laws prohibiting remarriage after infidelity are limited to a man, but not to God. And moreover, Hashem says, Eze Sefer Krisus, I didn't actually divorce you. Now, what's the pshat? Why is it that it's impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to separate? So the Beis HaLevi goes back to the Yesod we've been saying. We're not going to read it inside now, but he basically says that the halacha is that when it comes to Kedushas HaGuf, Yesh Moel Achar Moel, you could do Me'ila numerous times, whereas when it comes to Kedushas Damim, that's not the case. Once there was Me'ila, so since it's Shaykh to Pidyon, the Hekdesh has become desanctified. But when it comes to Kedushas HaGuf, it's not Shaykh Pidyon, it's not Shaykh desanctification. So Ki'ilu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have, our as we've been saying, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inherent. And therefore, it's not Shaykh, there's the, in our words, the spousal component, which can't be terminated. And Mimela, since it's inherent, sorry, the parent-child relationship, which can't be terminated. And since it's inherent, it's not shayach to termination. Yesh mo'el achar mo'el. You could do me'ilah numerous times. In a sense, it's the parent-child relationship that demands that, in a sense, the spousal relationship can also never truly be terminated. Right? Like you were pointing out, even from the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that we came back again and again. It can't actually end. Eze sefer krisus. Hashem could give us a get, kilu, but we're still connected. Right? Perhaps Rashi in his Akdama Tashir Ashirim, the next source, is alluding to that. Rashi, of course, as we mentioned before, Shir Ashirim depicts the spousal relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Rashi notes it's not a normal spousal relationship. The Omer, Ani, Rashi writes, Shirah Shlomo Baruch HaKodesh Hasid in Yisrael Lagalos, Gola Achar Gola. We're going to be exiled. Like we said, in a sense, a divorce, again and again. Churban achar churban, ulis onei begalos zel kvodem harishon uliskor chiba rishona asher hayu segula mikol amir. We're going to remember the good old days. Lemor elcha vashuv el ishi harishon, ki tov lo az me'ata. We want to go back because it was better in those days. V'yizku es chasadav, v'es ma'alam asher ma'alu, v'es atovos asher amar lahem, laseis lahem ba'achris hayamim. V'yasad sefer azeb ruach hakodesh belashon, Isha tsrura almanos chayos mishtokikos albaila. So what are we? What's the depiction? A depiction that between two humans is no analog, right? In Isha tsrura, we're connected. Almanos chayos mishtokikos albaila. I think that that's also the mashal in the first prakim, especially the second parak in Hosea, it's all about that point. It's all about, since we're children, so mimela, even if we're unfaithful spouses, that relationship could be restored. Or I thought maybe you could say it a little differently. Maybe this is what the beginning of that medrash is implying when it says that Ish can't remarry. But Anochi Kelvelo Ish. So the Gemara in Yoma says about Tshuva, you have here the next source, Amar Yochanan Gedola Tshuva, Shadochas Losase Shabbatora Shinemar, Lemor, Hain Yishalach Ish as Ishto, Valchame Yitova Isal Ishacher, Ayashuve Le Od, Alochanov Techanef Artahi, the Atsanish Rim Rabim, Vishuve Lai Numashem. In other words, Takats Docha Mitzvah Losase, Al Pi Alacha, it should be Aser for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remarry us, as it were, after we've had an affair. But Gedola Tshuva Shadocha Lo Saseh. The Rambam Nilchos Tshuva emphasizes this as well. Now, again, I alluded to it. I don't think it makes sense to get into this now. I'd like to go in a different direction, but I gave you some Marmakomos here on this interesting topic of when do we say Yisrael, Afal Pishachat Yisrael Hu, and when do we say Momer is Kakam L'chol Davar. I give to you over here three tshuvos from Rashi. Rashi in a number of tshuvos derives from that concept that a Yisrael never loses his Shem Yisrael. It's actually very interesting that Rashi quotes that Gemara in Sanhedrin, because that Gemara in Sanhedrin is a Agadic Gemara. But Rashi uses it, applies it to halachic questions. He doesn't quote that Gemara we saw from Yevamos of Tavol and Chazar, that he still has a Din Yisrael. But that's what Rashi says. That's not so pashut, and there was, to some degree, a machlokas about that. If you take a look, again, on the top of page 4, you have a small citation from the Tur in Eben HaEzer that quotes a machlokas about this topic. Yisrael mumer shekidesh kiddush of kiddushim tzricha mimenu get. The yesh omim demur melchal shabbos farhesia of the lavod kochav mazal zdino ke'akam gamor vein kiddush of kiddushin. There was a view, it was a view among the Gaonim, the lo nehira. We don't accept that view. It's rejected. We paskin that you can't lose the Shem Yisrael. Again, there are those that try to resurrect that view, reject Rashi's view, go back to that Gaonic position, look at the Marashdam below, who is very into that view. But the Marashdam's view is utterly rejected by the poskim. Here you have a tshuva from Rav Moshe, opposing the Marashdam and many, many others as well. The poskim decisively reject the Marashdam. Now, there's an interesting question if there were ever times that groups of Judaism were excluded. The Gemara in Yevamos on Tazayin Amud Beis discusses what happened to the 10 tribes. Lozazu mishamat sha'asa'um kochavim, ovde kochavim gemurim, shenamar, Bashem Bagdu Kivanim Zarim Yaladu. So it's not so pashut, but overall, that's certainly the way we accept. Now, we have another 10 minutes. And I'd like to take this idea that we've been saying, these two dimensions of our Bechira, and use that to try to understand our relationship to humanity and to non-Jews and to the world. Obviously, this too is a complex topic, and when you look at the Makoros, both in Chazal and in Rishonim, you seem to sometimes get mixed messages. As a mushel, I'll give you two sources where you sort of get the very same sources are understood in opposite ways to highlight the difficulty here, and then we'll try to present a mahalich. But one source that always told me emphasized the universalistic aspect of Bechiras Yisrael is the tefillah that we say in Yom Noraim uvechein tein pachtecha, which is all about our yearning for all of humanity to join together in the service of God, right? You should put your pachtecha, you know, al kol ma'asecha, al kol ma'ashevarasa, al kol hamasim, al kol habruim, right? Again and again, the psukim emphasize not just Klal Yisrael, but all of humanity. Kol ma'asecha, kol ma'ashevarasa, kol hamasim, kol habruim. So I once saw the Arugas Habosem, which is a commentary on the Siddur, on the Machzor, by Rishon, the 13th century Rishon, the Arugas Habosem, Rabbi Avram ben Azriel. So I saw he interprets each one of these lines as referring to Kal Yisrael. So, Pach Techol Kol Ma'asecha, right? Kol Ma'asecha is Yisrael. He quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Ein Ma'asecha Ela Yisrael. And then it says, Al Kol Ma'ashevarasa, and he quotes another pasuk in Yeshayahu, Ein Bruim Ela Yisrael. And every single line of that passage, which sounds to be, you know, a pipshat, entirely universalistic, he interprets in an entirely particularistic way. One other example, similar phenomenon, and then we'll try to understand it. There's a pasuk that describes Klal Yisrael's bechira at Matan Torah. Vata, Mshamot, Tishmu, Bekoli, Ushmartem, Esprisi, Beisem, Li, Segula, Mikol Amim, Kili, Kol Aretz. So it's describing our status of an Am Segula, Mikol Ha'amim. So how is that described? Vatem Tiyulim, Amleches, Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. We're meant to be a Mamleches Kohanim. So if you look at a number of the Mefarshim, the Sfarno makes this point, Rabbi Avram ben Aramba makes this point, Rav Hirsch, which you have over here on page 5, makes this point. They all point out, if we're Mamleches Kohanim, a nation of priests, so that reflects the fact that we have a special role in Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who cares about the whole world. If we're priests, we have to minister to someone, right? There's no such thing as a Kohen, Ke'ilah, without a Yisrael, a kingdom of priests without there being someone else that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about. So if we're the Mamlechas Kohanim, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a special role, but he cares about everybody. Our job is to be Kohanim to the world, and that's a point that, as I said, many, many of the Mefarshim make. If you take a look at Rashi on those psukim, which you have below, you very much get the opposite idea. You have that over here. Skula means what? Otzer chaviv, kemo, v'skulas malachim, kli yakar v'avanim, tovos shehamalachim, gonzinosam, kach os attempt yuli skula, mishar ha'umos, v'lo tomru, atem levadchem sheli, v'ein li acher mimachem, u'ma yesh li od, shetehei chivaschem yikeres, kili kol aretz, v'ein, v'einai ulefanai leklum. Rashi on this pasuk says that what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with the rest of the world? Klum, bupkis, garnished. So how do we explain, and again, here we have, you know, two approaches in Rishonim on both of these questions, but really in Chazal you see these different dimensions in many Rishonim. So, you know, what do you do with this? Maybe we'll say, let's say, looking at the examples we saw, well, we should look at historical considerations. You know, we should say, look, you know, look at the Rashi and the Aruga Sabosam. You know, they lived among Goyim, which are basically a bunch of barbarians. And so, Mimela, it's not so surprising that Rashi, the Aruga Sabosam's perspective is very much like we said, you know, Hain, Be'enai, Lefanai, Leklum, you know, whereas Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, Sforno, Rav Hirsch all lived in a very different milieu in which they were exposed to non-Jews who or non-Jewish thinkers and thinking that were wise and sophisticated, and so Mimela, their Mahalich is different. Again, I'll just think we'll try to show that that's not a tenable pshat, because in Tanakh, in Chazal, in Rishonim and Achronim, we'll see very much both perspectives. Again, likewise, I've seen people sort of say, well, you know, it depends if you take the rational perspective or the mystical perspective. Take a more rational perspective, so then you can't really dismiss Goyim in such a way, you know. After all, Goyim have, you know, accomplished great things in Chachma and other ways. If you take a mystical perspective, so then you're going to look at their difference in neshama and their shorish haneshama and the like, and then, you know, it's much easier to say, okay, you know, they're garnished. But again, I think when we, as we see more in the Makoros, we'll see that's not true. And just to highlight the degree to which I think you can't say that. It's clear in Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares a lot about Goyim. We'll give two examples, and we could go on two types of places where you see it, and really there are many more. Number one is, again and again in the Chumash, after the Jewish people sin, so Moshe davens that they be saved, and the most fundamental argument that he says is, Ma Yom Ragayim. right? For example, after the Meraglim, Vehemata, Esa'amazeh, you're going to kill out all of Klal Yisrael Kishachad, Ve'amraglayim, Asher Shemu, Eshimacha, Leimor, Mebilti, Yecholas, Hashem, Lavi, Esa'am, Hazel, Haaretz, Asher Nishba, Lohem, Vayishchatem, Bamidbar. So now, if it really were the case that HaKadosh Baruch Hu like doesn't care about Goyim at all, so that's not a very good argument. Mayom Ra Goyim, it's okay, it's what the Goyim say. They're garnished, right? In other words, it's not true. Goyim and their perspectives and their understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are obviously very important. And Memela, Ad Kedei Kach, that there's an argument that Moshe uses again and again, you can't kill the Jews because Mayom Ra Goyim, right? And it's not just in Chumash, in Yechezkel, in many places in Sheol you see it, Daniel you see it, but again, I think probably most powerfully in Yechezkel, here's one example that you have over here. Ve'yavo al agoyim asher vo'u sham v'yichalalu ha'shem kachi, be'amor lohem am ha'shem eile u'me'artzo yatzau. Here it's talking about the tremendous chilul Hashem that is galus, and ultimately that there's going to be Kiddush Hashem in the Geula, but it's again, it's Chilul Hashem Bagayim, right? It's very important that the Gayim get it right. Botzi Eschem in Amim v'kibatzti Eschem in Aratzos Asher nifotzosem bam v'nikdashti b'chem le'enei Gayim. So Galus is a Chilul Hashem le'enei Amim, Geula is a Kiddush Hashem le'enei Amim. Another place where you see, again, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares a lot about the Goyim and what they think and what they do, even after Bechiras Yisrael, is the role of Goyim in the Messianic era. And again, we don't have time to fully examine this, but just consider, for example, the Psukim at the end of Yeshayahu. Ve'evios kol achecha mikol agoyim mincha l'Hashem basusim uvarecha uvatabim Vapradim, Vakir Karos, Al Har Kachi Ushalaim, Amar Hashem Kasher Yaviu Vene Yisrael Asamincha, Bechli Tahor Beis Hashem. Talks about the non-Jews bringing us back, bringing and participating in the service in the temple. And again, throughout Tanakh, you see this in Zechariah Perek Beis, in Zechariah Perek Ches. Again, an emphasis of the role, the important role of Goyim in the world. So, we're out of time. So I guess we're going to sort of leave off with some food for thought now, and Bezus Hashem, we'll pick up with this question next time. But I don't think anyone can reasonably study Tanakh. Again, maybe next time we'll see examples in Chazal and the like, and sort of come to the conclusion that Hashem doesn't care about what Goyim think or what they do, or the like. I don't think any thinker could consider that, and therefore we have to try to come up with a more nuanced understanding of the nature of Bechir. I think, actually, that pasuk that you cited of B'ni Bechori Yisrael is actually a very good place to start with, but I guess we'll stop here for now, and Be'ezras Hashem will pick up next time.